God created all nations, and He has plan for every individual. He has one plan, and His plan is to have relationship with humanity. He wants to have relationship with you. God loves you. And to know what God's plan is, how He made that plan to have relationship with God, we need to go back to creation. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them in His own image, and He was talking with them in the garden every day in the cool of the day. The Bible says that God was with them in the garden. God was talking with them. And He had a good relationship, communication with Adam and Eve. And God gave them just one command, not thousands of commands, just one. He said, you can eat all the fruits of the tree freely. Don't hesitate. Eat all the trees that you see, all the fruits, eat them freely. But there is one tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Don't eat that one, just to prove that you love me. Just one commandment, that tree, do not eat it. If you eat, you will die. So that was one commandment. And Adam and Eve, they were walking in the garden, and then one day, Satan came. Satan came and he deceived them. He said, if you eat, you will not die. And they looked at the fruit and they saw that it was pleasant to eyes, and they took it and they ate it, both of them, and they sinned against God. They broke that one commandment. And therefore, because of that, the sin came to this world. As a result of sin, death came, disease, and all disaster that we see in the world today. This has been 6,000 years after that creation. So death came. So that sin passed to all generations, to all people. So we are all sinners, as we saw in the testimony that gurus are sinners and our parents are sinners and we are sinners. And so God came and He was looking for Adam and Eve. Obviously, He knew where they were. And when they sinned against God, they hid themselves behind the tree. They couldn't walk with God anymore because sin separates you from God. So they hid themselves, and God said, where are you, Adam? So they hid themselves, and then they tried to cover themselves. They were naked, and they didn't know that they were naked, and nakedness wasn't a problem. That wasn't a sin because nothing was impure, nothing was sin. Everything was beautiful. Everything was perfect, so they didn't know what sin was because they were walking with the Lord. But when they sinned against God, they had that consciousness of knowledge of good and evil, and they realized that they are naked. So they were embarrassed. Shame came. Fear came. They hid themselves behind the tree. And then they tried to cover their nakedness. The nakedness is a picture of sin in the Bible. So they tried to cover themselves, and that didn't work. So that the Lord, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They put some leaves together and they made apron and they wrapped around themselves. But God did something. So in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, that refers to Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Genesis 3:15, God still loved them. God loves all people. God wanted to save Adam and Eve and also all generations that will come after Adam and Eve. He still loves people. He knew that they sinned against God, Adam and Eve, but He made a plan. He promised. He said, I will put enmity between thee. That refers to Satan. God promised that He's going to put enmity between Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, the seed of woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. So that was the first promise, that God is going to send a Savior. It was Eve first. She took the fruit and she ate it. She brought sin, and Adam also followed his wife, and then they sinned against God. But God promised to send a Savior through woman, through Eve, that He's going to come and He's going to destroy a serpent, Satan. So that was the first promise that This is the Messiah. You have to look for Messiah. And he's going to give us in the Bible more about Messiah, who he is, where he's going to be born, and so on. So this is Messiah. He's going to bruise, crush the head of serpent, Satan. But Satan also is going to bruise his heel. That means Satan's going to do something to this Savior. That refers to the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. So Satan thought that he was victorious. He killed Messiah, Jesus Christ. But God promised that this Messiah, the Savior, will be victorious. So we're going to look at that, how he did that. So they covered themselves, and God said, no, you cannot cover your sins through your deeds on your own. So God himself, he sacrificed lambs, a few of them maybe two or three. Bible says that he coats up skin. Let's read this passage. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them. So God himself, he took a step and he slew animals, lamb, and he covered them, their nakedness, which is a picture of sin. God covered their sins through a sacrifice. This is like first clue. This Savior is going to be sacrificed. Like first time in the creation, and there was no bloodshed. First time innocent animal, lamb, had to be slaughtered to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness or sins. So this is first clue that the Messiah, the Savior, has to be sacrificed. So we move on, and Adam and Eve, they were clothed with that coat of skins, Bible says. So God gave them salvation, covered their sins. And then we have Adam and Eve's children. They had Cain and Abel. Obviously, Adam and Eve knew that God wants sacrifice, lamb sacrifice to be. If you want to have relationship with God, you need to offer a sacrifice and go before God with sacrifice and worship him. That's God's way. They taught this to their children, obviously, and Abel and Cain. Cain, sadly, was rebellious. He didn't follow God's commandment. Abel was able to take the lamb to worship God, and God accepted his offering. But Cain's offering wasn't a lamb. Cain took some vegetables to offer to God. It was like his own way. He wanted to worship God according to his own way. So he brought the first work-based religion, that you have to make your way to heaven according to your way, through good deeds or your own way. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan is a sacrifice. You have to sacrifice the lamb to come before God. So that's Cain. Cain didn't like Abel because he did right. He took lamb and he murdered his brother because he did right. And so in Isaiah 64 verse 6 we read, but we are all as unclean things and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Bible says, it doesn't say our sins are as filthy rags, but our righteousness, good things that we do in the world, giving money to poor, feeding needy, that's good things, that's righteousness, but in God's eyes are as filthy rags. This filthy rags refers to, in the old time, lepers, those who had leprosy. They couldn't live in the society, in a city, so they had to stay outside of the city. So these lepers, they were staying outside of the city, and these filthy rags, it had common usage. So these lepers would come, and they would take this rag, and they would clean those scabs out of their skins. The old skins were infected, so they were cleaning those scabs, and then they would hang it somewhere, and then next lepers would come and he would grab the same filthy rags and he would clean his scabs and leprosy. That was so filthy. And imagine if you touch that rag, it would transmit to you that leprosy and you would be a leper. So God is saying that all the good deeds that we do in order to go to heaven, in God's eyes, are as filthy rags, and we can't do that. We can't go to heaven. We can't have a relationship with God by our own good works. So we come to Abraham after that. Abraham was a man of faith. And God tested Abraham, and he said, take your only son and offer him as a sacrifice, offering for me, offer him for me. He was testing him, and he obeyed God's commandment, and he took his son by faith, and his son was confused. He said, you have this everything needed for sacrifice, but where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide lamb himself. And so he took his son there, and he wanted to kill his son and offer him for the Lord. An angel appeared to him. He said, Abraham, Abraham, do not touch your son. Now I understand that you fear God. And Abraham looked, he saw a ram right there, and he slew the ram instead of his son. That was another clue that this Messiah, the Savior that God promised, he's going to be sacrificed for the sins of all people. And then you come after Abraham, you come to Moses' time. Israelites, they were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was abusing them, and God did a miracle. God wanted to save them out of this bondage. God called Moses, their leader. So he went there. Moses went to Egypt to deliver Israelites out of Egypt. And so God sent many plagues to be able to release his nation, Israel, out of that bondage, out of captivity. And the last plague that God sent was the first one. He said that he's gonna, this is what he said to them. He said, every family should take a lamb again. Lamb, a sacrifice. You have to sacrifice a lamb and take the blood of the lamb, and you have to apply it on the doorpost. And I'm going to come and pass through Egypt. If I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I'm not going to destroy the firstborn. But if I don't see the blood, the firstborn, like the eldest son of that family, will be perished. He's going to die. Obviously, Israelites, they obeyed and they did it. They sacrificed. They applied the blood around the post of their doors, and they were saved. But Pharaoh himself, obviously, he didn't believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He didn't do that. His son, who was supposed to be next king, his son was dead. And Pharaoh, he saw that this Jehovah, God of the Bible, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is the true God. He said, just go. Go from this country. So God delivered his nation, Israel, through the blood again. Blood of the lamb. They were saved. So Exodus 12, we read about this. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So God saved them through the blood of the lamb. And then they came out of Egypt, and they were going to the land of promised land in Canaan. In the wilderness, they were there for 40 years, and God gave them again commandment. How are you going to worship me? He gave them. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul committed trespass and sinned through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram again, without blemish, out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, and so on. So God says that if you trespass, if you sin, you have to take a ram, a lamb, and sacrifice. You see, through the history from Adam and Eve all the way to Abraham and Moses, and it's always one plan, a lamb sacrifice. Lamb sacrifice is God's way. So they had to bring a lamb and sacrifice to be able to, their sins, they were delayed, kind of. It wasn't perfect. It couldn't save them yet because we're going to look at it, they were pictures. So, and then God gave more specific details about this Messiah, the Savior. It says, the Savior is the Son of God. It refers to his deity. Isaiah 9:6 gives us prophecy 700 years before he came to this world, in fact. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, because of his wonders, miracles, counselor, because of his good teachings. And the mighty God, in fact, this Son of God, which is given to us from heaven, he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So he's the Son of God. And then he will be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, 2, it tells us that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But da Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, out of you, Ephratah, Bethlehem, shall he, that is the Son of God, come forth unto me, that is God the Father, that is to be ruler in Israel. He's going to be a ruler, a governor. He's going to be king in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting again. This person, the Son of God, is going to be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth, that means he goes forth out of heaven throughout the creation. He's been, God came down, he appeared to Abraham. He's been going forth out of heaven, coming down, and whose goings forth have been from how long? From of old, from everlasting. That tells us that he is God. Jesus is God. And he's going to be sacrificed, and Jesus Christ was sacrificed in right time, and he will heal many. These prophets in Isaiah chapter 35, we read about prophecy about the Savior. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God, it says, behold, your God, Israel's God, will come. That means you need to look for this God. God is going to come down with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So when he comes to this world, what's going to happen? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. He's going to heal the blind. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongues of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall water breaks out and streams in the desert. It tells us that when Messiah comes, he's going to heal the blind. The deaf will be able to hear. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He healed the blind. He healed so many lepers and so many people. And he raised people from the dead. That's what Jesus did. And he will save sinners. That's the main plan. The main plan that Messiah is going to come to this world is to save sinners, because sin has separated us from God. So he came to bring us to God. He will save sinners. John 1, 29, John the Baptist, he saw the Messiah. He saw Jesus coming. It says the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist, by the Spirit of God, he understood that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Lamb of God. That Lamb that was sacrificed in the Old Testament, Jesus is the Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, in fact, which takes away the sin of not just Israel, sin of the world. That means he's going to take sins of Persians, he's going to take sins of Indians and Egyptians and Arabs and all kinds of people. Jesus, this is God's plan. So Jesus came, he was the Lamb of God. He was the perfect Lamb. He died on the cross to show that God loves us indeed. He does love us. There's no religion in the world that their founder did like what Jesus did for us. I grew up as a Muslim, and we have to harm our bodies, and we have to die for Allah to please him, so we might have hope to go to heaven. We're not sure, but doing that, we're going to please our God. But God of the Bible, he comes down from heaven, he humbles himself. He doesn't need to do it, but he loves us because he created us. He knows that we are all going to hell because of sin. So he came down as a man, died on the cross to take away our sins. He endured suffering for us. But he didn't stay in the grave. He's the only one who came back to this life again. He was resurrected. If you compare Christianity with other religions, I grew up as a Muslim. Muhammad is in the grave still after 1,400 years. He is dead. Buddha is dead. He is in the grave. All other religious founders, they are all dead. They all promised that if you do this, they set so many rules as Cain did. He wanted to worship God through his work, not through God's provision of lamb. And so they have so many rituals that you have to follow. And at the end of the day, you're not sure of going to heaven. I wasn't sure of going to heaven. I was trying my best. I practiced Islam and prayed 5 times a day and fasted in Ramadan and so many rituals that we have. I followed. I was not sure of going to heaven. In fact, I lived with fear of going to hell all my life. I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that Allah is not going to have mercy on me. He's going to send me to hell. I was so worried. But when I read the Bible, I realized that Jesus is not a prophet. He is God. And he died and he rose again. And he promises eternal life. Then I knew that he saved me, gave me eternal life. So he rose again. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 2, Bible says, for the law, the law that rituals that we have in the Old Testament, you had to sacrifice lamb and everything. It says, having a shadow of good things to come. They were just shadow of good things, referring to the Messiah, this perfect lamb. They were shadow of good things and not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, the Jews have had to offer those sacrifices year by year, continually make the commerce thereon to perfect. It couldn't make them perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Of course, they would have been ceased. If they were perfect, if those lamb could take away your sins, then you don't have to come back next year. Because they were not perfect, they were just shadows. Okay, so they were shadows. Imagine this man, he's a Graham Packer fan, and imagine if I told you, you are a taxi driver, you are my friend, taxi driver, and I call you, and I'm telling you to go to Milwaukee Airport to pick up my friend. My friend is going to come, and he's asking me, okay, can you tell me who this, your friend is, how he looks like? And I tell you as taxi driver, I say my friend is wearing Green Packer shirt, and there's number 12 on it, on his shirt, and also there's that cheese cap on his head. And he looks like American, white. So you go to the airport, and well, obviously, probably you're going to see one person look like that out of so many. And immediately, as soon as you see this person with number 12 and Green Packer shirt on and cheese hat on, not many people do that at the airport. If you see him, you're going to say, okay, he's the one. You go to him and you ask him to come. And so you're going to pick him up. So anyway, so this is, Bible says that those lamb sacrifices, they were shadows. They were just pictures. They were not the real things. They were not that substance, that real things. So Jesus is that real sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. Not that picture is not that person. It's just a picture. When you meet that person, my friend, at the airport, he is the real one, not the picture that I gave you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once Jesus died on the cross for all humanity, and he was God, he was perfect, sinless, and his offering was totally accepted by God the Father, and it covers our sins. We don't need any other offerings. It was just perfect. And so Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 to 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, anybody, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, sadly. Bible says that if you reject God's plan, that is lamb sacrifice, the perfect lamb is Jesus Christ. If you reject that, God's plan, God's mercy that is found at the cross, that he died for you, Bible says if your name is not going to be found in the book of life and you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. God doesn't want you to go to the lake of fire. God loves you and he died on the cross to save you from lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, we read, "And there shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." If you put your trust in Jesus Christ tonight, your name, the angels will write your name in the Lamb's, in Jesus' book of life. Jesus has a book. It's a book of life, eternal life. He's going to write down your name. And when you stand before God after death, they're going to look at your name. It'll be there if you put your trust in Jesus. If you trust your religion, I used to be Muslim. I trusted my religion. I was not sure of going to heaven. I was heading to the lake of fire. But when I put my trust in Jesus 14 years ago, I heard this good news of the gospel that Jesus died for me, that he is God, he is the only Savior. He is God's plan for humanity to save us so we can have relationship with God in this world and also after death. We're going to be with him forever. I put my trust in him. I never regret that decision that I made. In John 3:36, we read, it says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life." God doesn't tell a lie. He promises it everlasting life. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life," no eternal life, "but the wrath of God abideth on him." I don't know about you, but I want the mercy of God, the love of God, everlasting life through Son of God, Jesus Christ. I don't want the wrath of God, eternal hell. I don't want that. And Romans 10:13, it tells us what to do. What do we have to do to go to heaven now? Jesus died on the cross. He paid for the sins of all the world, whole world, all people can be saved. So what do we have to do? Romans 10:13 tells us very simple. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Very simple. You just have to call upon the name of the Lord. This Lord is Jesus. If you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to save you from hell, the lake of fire, he promised that he will save you. And in fact, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, eternal rest." You don't have to work your way to heaven. You don't have to be religious and work hard. I'm going to give you rest because I've done it for you. I died for you. I'm going to give you rest, and I'm going to give you eternal life. John 10:28, Jesus said, "But I give unto them eternal life. Those who come to me, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish," never go to hell. This is promise, and nobody, no other religious founder could say that. Muhammad never said, "I give unto you eternal life," but Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." So salvation is so simple. My friend, I'm inviting you to call upon Jesus' name. Like, imagine if you drown in water, in ocean, and you're drowning, and what do you have to do to be? And you see somebody is passing by, a boat, a rescuer passing by. What do you have to do to be saved from drowning, from perishing? Do you have to be a religious to be saved? No. Do you have to pray 5 times a day to be saved? No. You don't have to do anything. You have to call. "Hey, please help me. Can you help me?" You have to acknowledge that you have a problem. You are drowning. So as a sinner, you have to acknowledge that you have sinned against God. God is holy. He is almighty. And he's a just God. He's not going to oversee your sins. He knows what you've done in your life. He's a just God. He's going to deal with your sins if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior. So you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is the Messiah who died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and put your trust in him. Call upon his name. Say, "Jesus, save me." And he's going to come and he's going to save you. He's going to come into your heart. He'll transform your life. 14 years ago, I made that decision. I never regret as a Muslim. I told my family, my parents back in Iran, I grew up as a Muslim. All my family members, my parents, they are all Muslims. I told them, they got angry. There was a cost. But I had to make decision to follow Jesus, to go to heaven, not follow my parents to go to hell forever. So I told them, and they got angry. and they cursed me for following Jesus. But after 12 years praying for them, telling them about Jesus Christ, finally, 2 years ago, my mom, as a Muslim, she heard this message and she put her trust in Jesus. Last year, my dad, at the age of 78, after practicing for decades as a Muslim, he put his trust in Jesus Christ. He received Jesus as his Savior and Messiah, and he got saved. So I'm going to invite you tonight, if you never done this before, if you never prayed and asked Jesus to save you, to be your Savior and your Lord, I invite you to come tonight to do it. We're going to have pianists come and play the song of invitation and make that decision tonight, because there's eternity ahead of you. Eternity which is so long. It's not 50 years, 100 years. It's not 1,000 years. It's not a million years. It's forever. And lake of fire, hell is forever. So don't go to that place of torment, fire, forever. Don't go there. I urge you to put your trust in Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He's the only one who did many miracles to prove that he is the Messiah. He conquered death. All other religions, you look at them, they tell you, they promise that, yeah, you may go to heaven if you do this. And after death, you may go to heaven, but there is no assurance. But Jesus proved it by his own example. He died and he rose again. He said, "If as I live, you shall live also." He lives forever. He said, "You're going to live forever if you believe in me," Jesus said.